gas pump. Putting gas into your car. Flames erupt all around you. What should you do? You stop your car to check your baby. A man jumps into the front seat and kidnaps you both.
What are you doing?
And joining us right now is Candace DeLong. She's with a great show. I really enjoyed it. It's on Lifetime. It's called What Should You Do? And there are so many dilemmas in life of what should you do if you're in certain situations. Well, this TV show kind of illustrates it using examples of real-life situations. And Candace DeLong is a person who was with the FBI. She's knows all kinds of stuff about safety. And she's one of the hosts of this show. There's three different people that are involved in it. She's a crime expert, former FBI agent. And this is amazing stuff. I'm really surprised no one's done this before.
I keep hearing that. I do. Everybody tells me that, and I'm really proud of the show, and it's been very exciting doing it, and it feels good to be getting a lot of good information out to people.
Yeah, and it's interesting for me to sit and listen to this, and try to figure out what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. There's a game actually, a board game, just like this.
I didn't know that.
My kids just got it, and it's not called What Are You Supposed to Do, but I don't remember the name. I should have actually used it on the interview here. But there's actually a game that asks you questions about survival and about different things like this, and safety, and you're supposed to answer them. And I got them all wrong. I did terrible on it. So it's actually a good thing that people can actually tune in on Lifetime. What was it, Monday nights at 8, right?
Yes. Each week, our first show for the week is Monday, 8 p.m., and then we rerun that show Saturdays at 11, and a couple times during the week, just go to lifetimetv.com and get the schedule or look in TV Guide.
We're actually going to put the link to that site on our website as well.
Great.
So people can actually check it out. Tell us a little bit about where you're from originally.
I was raised in Phoenix. Phoenix, Arizona, actually, so long ago, horses had the right-of-way
when I was a kid there.
And then my teen years in San Francisco, and then 26 years in Chicago. And first as a nurse. I was a psychiatric nurse for almost a decade. Worked in maximum security psychiatry most of my nursing career. And then joined the FBI when I was 30 and spent the next 20 years there.
Wow. Now, you worked on cases like the Unabomber and the Tylenol killing,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
Wow. I remember that Tylenol thing so distinctly. And it's interesting that's melted into the background now, and most people don't remember it anymore.
You know, I lecture all over the country on college campuses, and I talk about that case, and it's also one of the stories that I feature in my book, Special Agent. And the reason you remember that case, I'll bet, is because that case actually changed the way we live our life today. That case, 1982, with the potassium cyanide being put in Tylenol and seven people died in Chicago,
right,
is the reason today you can't get in an aspirin jar without a blowtorch.
Well, that's true, because now they have it shrink-wrapped, and it says right on it, do not use this if it's
mm-hmm.
opened at all.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
it's,
I mean,
because of the Tylenol murders.
It's interesting, though, that before that, if you think about it now, it just seems unbelievable that it never happened before that.
Isn't
without the
that incredible?
Yeah.
And shortly after those poisonings was September 22nd, 1982, in the next month, there were 100 product tamperings.
Mm.
Everything from people putting needles in Pepsi cans to hydrochloric acid in eyedrop bottles.
Yeah, that was the copycat stuff.
Yes, copycat stuff.
You know, all these demented people who think, hey, I can get some publicity from the media.
And one man tried, his target was to kill his wife, and he tainted some product and killed three or four people along with her to try to cover it up, but we caught him.
Mm. That's good. See, that's the thing that's fun if you're in the FBI, to catch the bad guy.
That is what you live for, to put the handcuffs on somebody.
The Unabomber was a tough guy to find, but,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, I guess his home was just preserved, the little shed of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much into that were you? Was that?
I did the undercover work on that case. I went up to Montana with my partner and a guy type, and we did the advance work in Montana trying to build the case, and then we went into Lincoln to keep an eye on him. Up until we were ready to get the search warrant and grab him. Fascinating. I spent the afternoon with him when federal agents were searching his cabin.
It's interesting. I mean, you've done so much with the FBI, but I know in San Francisco you worked like investigating serial murders, also in sex crimes. How much of a preparation with all those years in psychiatric nursing, did they come in to help you quite a bit?
I can't imagine a better background for being an effective federal agent than having been in the field of psychiatry and mental health. Psychiatric nurses spend their day talking, listening, get very, very involved in your patient's lives, the professional involvement. And by the time somebody gets into a psych unit, they're pretty messed up. And I swear after 5 years, nothing could shock me anymore. And it was extremely good training for being a profiler and a federal agent.
But you're really getting into the writing thing. I guess you're the first and only female FBI agent to have a book published.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
the thing has done so well. It's been in six languages. It's a bestseller. Mm-hmm. And I understand now you're going to be writing for Cosmopolitan.
Yes. My first column came out in the May issue. And basically, it's very much like the show, What Should You Do? Every 3 months, I'll have a column, and we'll take an issue, a safety issue, for young women. I wanted to write for Cosmo because the vast majority of their readers are young women, and young women get victimized so easily because they trust the wrong people.
In love and life.
True.
Yeah.
And young women also kind of think, and young men too, they're invincible and nothing can hurt them. And young people I know like to think that they're very good judges of character, and they're not, because they simply lack the life experience.
But we all thought that when we were kids that the things we did were cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was talking with my kids the other day and remembering at one point in my life being in a drag car race with a friend of mine where we hit 138 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And thought about it later how crazy that was when the cars that were going 90 looked like they were parked on the side of the road, that any split-second problem would have ended in instant death.
Mm-hmm.
How dumb was that?
Pretty
but
dumb.
But when you're that age, you know, you're a teenager, hey, it's cool to be fast, you know?
Yeah,
and unfortunately, a lot of the kids are nowadays are paying for their lives for some of the mistakes they make.
Mm-hmm. I know, and it's sad. I think, well, the book that I wrote is my memoirs, but the last chapter actually stands on its own. It's not a story, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the book, but it did spawn this TV show. And basically, the last chapter of my book, I put together a bunch of safety tips for women and children based on actual cases I had worked or I was aware of, things you wouldn't think of. Mm. And that has now turned into the TV show, What Should You Do?
So did you get credit for being one of the executive producers as well?
I am one of the co-creators.
Ooh, that's even better.
Even better.
Yeah. Now, Lifetime seems like a perfect fit for the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They really grabbed it. And you know, it's interesting. Since I've been involved in this, I've found out that although Lifetime is, quote, the TV channel for women, 30% of their viewers are men.
Hmm.
You guys are out there keeping up with the competition.
One of the things I thought was really interesting, one of the segments was a woman who was carjacked with her baby.
Yes.
And using her cell phone, cell phone saved her life.
Uh-huh. That show's going to be aired this Monday, the 19th.
Well, that's a great show, and folks, in fact, all the segments on that particular show were really good. The young woman who had the sudden heart attack, and there's some really nice segments on that. But, I mean, all these things are real-life things that could happen, and the more that people see this, it should be kind of required viewing. They should actually send this to the schools and stuff, let people watch them.
Well, I'm hoping that we're going to eventually expand into exactly that kind of thing. This is definitely a show to watch with your teenage kids. I would say any child over 8, 9, 10 years old should be able to handle this show.
Hmm. Well, I have an 11-year-old son who I'm going to have watch it with me. My daughter, who's 9, I'm a little on the cusp on that one.
Yeah.
Because she gets scared.
It depends on people. You know your kids, but there's an awful lot of victimization of children going on out there. I can tell you something our very first pilot was about a woman that I had met who had got out of her car at 1 in the morning. She's walking up to her apartment, and a guy comes up to her with a gun and says, "Get in the trunk." And she complied. And he drove her around, emptied out her ATM. Then he drove the car to a lake, put it in neutral, and pushed the car in the lake. As the water was coming in the trunk and she was just about ready to drown, she remembered something. you can get out of a trunk. There's a device on the inside that leads right to the latch. If you find, she found it in the dark with her fingers. It's a thin cable. She pulled it. It released the trunk lid. She swam to safety.
Hmm.
A man here in the Bay Area that worked at home saw that TV show that I was on with her. When his kids came home from school, he took them all outside and showed them how to get out of the trunk of a car. And 2 weeks later, his 14-year-old daughter was walking to school. Very affluent neighborhood. A man standing next to a Jaguar with the trunk lid open distracted her, grabbed her, threw her in the trunk. Mm. As he's driving out of the neighborhood, she remembered what to do. When he came to a stop, she pulled the cable with her fingers, slid her hand out so the car behind her could see. The car behind her, of course, had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
They call police. The offender continues driving, stops at the next stop, and the girl at this point jumps out and ran in the Good Samaritan's car.
Mm.
All because her dad showed her something he saw on TV on how to get out of a trunk.
Well, it's so important that people know these things. The other thing that was illustrated in one of the editions that's coming up Monday is CPR, the importance of knowing that. And that's something everybody can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I
for free.
Yes.
For free. Sometime in your lifetime, you learn other things at the basic CPR course, the Heimlich maneuver and whatnot. Sometime in your lifetime, you will have the opportunity or will be needed to employ those skills that you learned in that class. I was in a restaurant, and a little old lady was choking, and I'm a registered nurse, but nevertheless, a little old lady was choking, and I just walked over and put my arms around her and did a quick Heimlich, and she was fine.
Hmm.
If that hadn't happened, if I hadn't known how to do that, I don't know what would have happened to her. And that can happen to your kids at the table eating steak.
But, okay, if you're in the FBI, you could go behind her and go, FBI, spit that out now. You know, they would get her to go, too. Yeah, that works almost as well as the Heimlich maneuver. You know, in Boston, where this show is broadcast, originates from anyway, it's a national show, we've had some serious corruption here in the FBI along with the Whitey Bulger situation. And people around here have no respect for the FBI whatsoever because of this whole situation.
Oh, no.
But it should be noted that it was an isolated area, an isolated incident with isolated special agents in charge. Mm-hmm. Has this tainted the whole FBI? Are you feeling some of the effects of this?
No, not. When something like that happens in a field division such as the Boston Division gets a tremendous amount of publicity, that story was barely covered out here in California.
Really?
Really.
Hmm.
Really. It's the big things that make national news, such as Colleen Rowley, the whistleblower, last May.
Right.
In fact, it was just about a year ago now where her memo came to surface. Now, that's the kind of thing. And then, of course, the Ruby Ridge and Waco back in the early 90s, those kinds of things that get tremendous media saturation.
And Janet Reno, I think, took the hit for that pretty much, though.
Yes.
Yeah, deservedly so. But, one of the things that concerns me, you know, we talked earlier for a minute about my kids, and my 9-year-old is very concerned about Osama bin Laden and terrorism. That 911 thing scared the stuff out of all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Scared me.
Yeah, I mean,
it
changed everybody's life. It obviously changed our adults who are cognizant of the facts, but for kids, this imaginary thing became a reality, and the monster is here on our soil, and they're scared. And I'm just wondering, you know, if you have any suggestions on what to say to kids.
Well, all I can tell you is that kids in Israel and many other countries grow up with this. For us, it's new. For us, I'm sure had an effect on your kids. But it is something that can be dealt with. For example, one of the things you can teach your children is to be alert. If you see the weapon of choice for terrorists is a bomb.
Hmm.
If you see a package unattended, don't just ignore it. Don't walk by it and say, I'll leave it to somebody else. Find someone to report it to. If you are in a crowded area, I'll talk about suicide bombers, okay? If you're in a crowded area waiting in a line to get on a bus or a theater or in a cafe, and someone comes in or is there, and he's kind of in a... Suicide bombers tend to be on the young side. They recruit teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and they convince them this is a good thing to do. people that have survived bombings have reported that the behavior they see these people engaging in prior to detonating their bombs is they're very nervous, looking around quite a bit. They're generally inappropriately dressed because they have to wear a heavy coat or something to cover up the dynamite.
Right.
And it might be 100 degrees outside.
Right.
And they are very nervous and looking around. If you're in an area and you see something like that,
get out of the way.
Away. Mm. That's what you need to do. Get away.
Mm. Well, you know, there's some great material out there, and this show, What Should You Do, which airs on Lifetime at 8 o'clock on Monday, you got to check it out. It's a great show. And it repeats on Saturday at what time?
Saturday at 11.
At 11.
And a couple other times during the week, you'd have to check the
website. LifetimeTV.com.
Right.
They can check that out because there'll be a link here. And it's an interesting book as well. The book is called Special Agent, My Life on the Front Lines as a Woman in the FBI. It's from Hyperion Press. It's a paperback, inexpensive, and lots of good reading in there. You know, one of the things I got my kids years ago, it was a yellow dino or something. It was a safety thing about strangers. And it was excellent, excellent video, and it didn't really go anywhere. I interviewed the people there, and I guess they didn't have much promotional money. But it seems to me like that's something that's really necessary right now is stranger abductions, friend abductions, you know, that really warning these kids of what to do and how to do it.
We have a show coming up, I think in a couple weeks, and we have a story of a little girl, Mitzi Sanchez, who was kidnapped. Abducted, kept for 3 days, and she ended up saving her own life. And we actually give the viewers and kids watching tips on exactly what to do if someone grabs you.
Hmm. I think the key is trying to protect us. You know, one of the things that aggravates me more than anything else is these people who do this stuff. You know, they go to court and some liberal judge gives them a warning and they go back and do it again. As far as I'm concerned, if you commit a crime like that, you should be in jail for life.
Well, you've got my vote for president.
Hmm?
You've got my vote for president.
Well, it just aggravates me. You know, people who are on the front lines and see the stuff that's going down, or really, read the papers and see what's happening in this country. Those people can't be those liberal tree huggers that do this kind of stuff because they're out of touch with reality.
Yes.
You know. There's got to be tough punishment, and these people, they keep going back to this crime. They can't be, quote-unquote, cured.
No,
it's something that's there. It's in them, and that's their need.
Right, And they don't have to do it. It's not an irresistible urge. It's not, if we all did everything we think about, we'd all be dead or in jail. The people that do these things to children, they want to do them, and then they make the conscious decision to do it.
Right.
Engage in it is not a crime to be a pedophile. Pedophilia is a condition.
Right.
It is a crime to act on it.
Exactly.
And hurt a child.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah, it's so aggravating to me, and I've been advocating this position for years, and I remember getting all this mail, you right-wing pig, and, I don't consider that right-wing. I think it's just, normal and intelligent thought.
Yeah, I don't see that as right-wing or left-wing. It's anyone that doesn't understand this kind of thing and thinks that these people can be cured is naive.
Well, I have an island for them to sell, to buy. You know, it's interesting because, then they had the sex registries come up, which I think is a wonderful idea, to register these people so at least you're aware of they're in your community, in your neighborhood, that you can at least prepare and have your children know they're there. But then all these liberals, again, pushed against it, and it's in fragments, the whole program. It made sense. Now, I understand there were some people maybe that had committed minor crimes that were in this registry and there was a problem with it, but it seems to me that it makes a lot of sense for the community to know when someone who's a threat to that community is there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of like the police department or the government knowing that there's bombs all over the place and not telling us.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Megan's Law has not been repealed.
No, Megan's Law is still around.
Right.
Right.
And I think I heard something this week about a national sex registration program that's going to be, we've been trying to get it for a long time, and I heard something on the radio about it. I think it's moving forward.
Well, President Bush wants to see it.
Right, right.
But the Democrats in Congress are fighting it.
They're not going to win.
Well, I hope not.
No,
I hope not.
They're not going to win.
But this has got to be done. The sooner we do these.
What reason could anyone have for not thinking that sex offenders should be registered?
Oh, the same reason that that they protested here in Massachusetts and got them to disband the registry for a while. It's now just starting up again. Governor Romney's starting it up, and the Democrats are carping about it. They don't want it. Why? Because,
well,
quote-unquote, innocents could be on this registry.
I'm speechless.
These people can be cured, so why should they be...
No, they can't.
They've already served their time. Why should they be publicly ridiculed? I'm telling this.
Well, I can tell you this. I have seen a number of... I don't want to say child molesters, because the word molest means bother. They do a lot more than bother a child.
Hmm.
They violate them. They take their childhood from them. They take their innocence from them, and they could be crippling them emotionally for the rest of their life. And I have seen men that commit these kinds of crimes on children serve less time than the number of years they were violating that child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the reason why vigilantes sometimes take to the streets.
Yeah.
And they don't get justice. I'm not advocating vigilantism, but I understand where it comes from.
Sure.
You know, when you don't get what you should get, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for coming on, Candace DeLong.
Well, thank you
she
for
is
me.
The show
you
is called What Should You
the
Do?
World.
Excuse me.
You and I can save the world.
Well, you know, if people would listen, maybe we could. What Should You Do is the name of the show. That's a good first start. And then when Candace runs for office, we'll all support her. We'll have a national movement. DeLong for president. Why don't you run for politics in your local area? Where do you live in California?
I do. I've had that mentioned to me, but, you know, I'm really having so much fun doing what I'm doing now, which is educating people and doing the show and whatnot. I think I'll just stick to what I know.
Now, are you married or happy?
I'm single.
Yeah, I knew it. You look too good, you know.
Well,
you're too relaxed, you know. You have to be single.
I was married. I have a 27-year-old son.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
And does he follow your footsteps into FBI?
Nope. He's finishing his PhD in political science, and he has other ideas.
Maybe he'll be a politician then.
Now, that is a plan down the road.
Does he espouse your views?
Pretty much so, yes. Certainly on law enforcement issues, absolutely.
There he goes. Now we have a candidate. Let's get him a position to run for.
DeLong for president.
There you go. Well, you got to start small. You know, maybe governor. Senate, state rep, whatever it is.
Sounds good.
Get them to start.
I will.
Well, the show's great, and I hope that one day we can have a chance to talk to each other again.
Sounds good.
The book is called Special Agent, My Life on the Front Lines as a Woman in the FBI, and it's from Hyperion Books. Candace DeLong is the author, and you can see her Monday night at 8 on Lifetime's What Should You Do? I know what you should do. You should watch the show and listen to PMPNetwork.com as much as possible. That's what you should do. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Take care.